This is a CKTZ News Update. The BC Ferry Commission provides independent oversight of BC Ferries Coastal Service. A review of the 9 ferry advisory committees finds flaws in the current understanding of the committee's mandate and public involvement in the decisions made by the ferry authority when it comes to route scheduling and resource allocation. A recently released review by the Commission of Ferry Advisory Committees calls for several improvements, including greater public engagement in decision-making, clearer communication by BC Ferries to the committees about their mandate, and calls for an annual report about issues and their resolution, outstanding issues, and key measurements demonstrating the effectiveness of public engagement. BC Ferry Commissioner Eva Haig says the report is enlightening.
BC Ferries has already taken steps towards a more robust public engagement process and certainly has tried to formalize or clarify the role with the Ferry Advisory Committee. And there's a bunch of documentation that spells out their approach. What I think we found is that, yes, that is the intention, but the intention doesn't always happen. So what are the recommendations that came from the consultants and that we endorsed was really a few things they need to do to make sure that it actually happens, that the role and mandate of the Ferry Advisory Committee become more clear, and that every island is different. Every island has different needs, but there has to be some clarity around the mandate. And also the other thing that really jumped out at me is that there is often no explanation as to why or why not some input from the Ferry Advisory Committee is not acted on. So those are the key things that I found was interesting. The other thing that was that even though the Ferry Advisory Committees have issues with feeling that they're not being listened to, they all, most of them, felt that it was a worthwhile exercise to be part of the Ferry Advisory Committees and the time that they volunteer. It's all a volunteer effort on the behalf of the community, and that they felt it was worthwhile spend their time too.
One thing I saw that really stood out too is that the Ferry Advisory Committees should move to being primarily, from being primarily informing body to a level of involvement and collaboration. And that seemed to be to try to get their members to be very active in soliciting the public input. And I was curious too, because it looks, or it seemed from the report too, that the Ferry Advisory Committees tended to meet privately, at least more recently. And then this report recommends that they actually move to open public meetings. Is that the case?
No, all Ferry Advisory Committee meetings are actually open to the public. They're not public meetings in the sense that the public generally doesn't have input in those meetings, but you're free to go and listen to the meetings. But what the recommendation was that there should be a little bit more of advertisement and a little bit more notification to the communities when these meetings happen. So there is a little bit more awareness in the communities that they are happening and that people are a little bit more engaged. It's not that they have, it's not like they've been in private. It's just, they just haven't been advertised.
I see. Yes, because it does say to create a consistent engagement.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing that I was curious about, Eva Haig, too, is that it seems that up to this point, there has been a lack of consistency. And you did talk about that a moment ago between various ferry advisory committees in different communities in terms of how they interpret their mandate, and that there needs to be language that's clear and consistent throughout all BC Ferries documentation to create a more consistent mandate that everybody understands and follows.
Yeah, I think that is probably more challenging than it sounds, mostly because the communities are very different. And they have different needs. They also have different engagement from the ferry advisory committees. Some committees have very few issues and are not as engaged as others that have bigger problems. There's also some of the committees have elected officials on them, while other committees have said, no, we don't want elected officials on them. So there's different needs, and trying to get some clarity and not necessarily uniformity, but clarity around the mandate is not going to be an easy thing to do. But we have asked BC Ferries to work with the ferry advisory chairs to improve this. So there is an understanding of what each party is bringing to the table.
And the other thing it sounds that's being advised is that there's an annual report on the actual type of public engagement that happens that's shared with all the ferry advisory committees and the various ministries of government, of course, as along with BC Ferry Authority and the commission. And that, I thought, was very helpful and probably would potentially build some faith in the process, because my understanding is that there's a hope that there will be a description of resolved issues and also outstanding items that are being worked on, and as well as some performance metrics and commentary. Do you have a sense of what that would look like?
Greg, I don't. We have left it up to BC Ferries to propose a format that will work for them. But we have asked that it's at a minimum that they track the issues that are being raised by the Ferry Advisory Committee, and that they report out on what their action have been, or if there hasn't been an action, as to why. And also, as you mentioned, the performance metrics, to try to focus the corporation on what it is they want to achieve and to be able to measure whether they have achieved it. It really is trying to elevate the public engagement process and also make it a bit more transparent for the public to see what is happening and what we're hearing from the island.
I see. Yeah, something too, I know locally, speaking to members of the local, or the Cortez, some members of the Cortez Ferry Advisory Committee, there's been some concern about the maximum length that an individual can serve on Ferry Advisory Committee, because I understood that it had been 8 years, but apparently there's been some members on our combined Quadra Island, Cortez Island Ferry Advisory Committee that have been there longer. Do you see an issue with that, or is it true that they should really only be serving for a maximum of 8 years?
Volunteer role to be part of the ferry advisory committees, and it can be very time consuming. And I don't know if Cortez is the same as Saturn Island, where I live. Volunteers are hard to find these days. So asking people you have volunteers on a ferry advisory committee, and to tell them that they can no longer volunteer and then try to find new members may be challenging. And also you lose the corporate memory. But it's also good to have a little bit of turnover. Again, I think that was part of the recommendation from the consultants, that the BC Ferries actually work out with the ferry advisory committees about the term limit and what ideally that should look like. But I can see both sides. It's hard to find the volunteers, but at the same time, having a bit of a turnover is a good thing.
Yes, definitely.
I don't answer.
No, but I understand what you mean about volunteers. And of course, on our islands, we just have a limited pool of people.
Yeah.
But how does one even get appointed to a ferry advisory committee? Or is it only up to the discretion of the chair of the committee?
No, I can tell you what happened in the Southern Gulf Islands Ferry Advisory Committee, because I was part of it for many years. It was on a recommendation from the members on the committee that then went to BC Ferries, and BC Ferries make the ultimate decision, because Ferry Advisory Committees is a creature of BC Ferries, but they were always willing to listen to our recommendations.
Okay. Just one final question, if you don't mind, please, Eva. And that is that, and perhaps this is better addressed to the actual ferry authority, but I know something that's really been very challenging on Cortez and Quadra Islands has been just the demand on service, and how local residents have difficulty accessing the service at times because of the demand. Do you have a sense whether there could be a move to develop a system for assured loading for local residents?
That I cannot answer.
Okay.
That I cannot answer. That should probably be directed to BC Ferries.
The BC Ferry Authority has until July 24th to respond to the review's findings and recommendations. Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.